chapter 23 and 24. Do you remember where we left off? A lot's happened in our lives, but we need to go back and remember where we left off. It was that wonderful, wonderful story of Abraham ready to offer his son, his only son, as a sacrifice. Of Abraham with so much faith that he knew if it came to it, God would raise him from the dead to fulfill his promise. Of course, God stopped him. God provided his own sacrifice, didn't he? And we talked about the picture, that this picture was of God the Father and his willingness to sacrifice his only son to fulfill a promise to us, to pay the price for our salvation. Beautiful picture. You know, that act of faith in Abraham's life, really we could think of that as the pinnacle of his faith, the pinnacle of his life. And we don't hear much more until the next three chapters, when we come to the end of our time with Sarah and Abraham. It's been a good time, though, hasn't it? They've had ups and downs. They've been faithful and doubting. They've been obedient and made some mistakes. But when we look over it all, we see lives of faith. And so, as we begin chapter 23, verse 1, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Apparently he wasn't there when she died, and that wouldn't have been uncommon. He had things, places he would have to be. But he came to mourn as any man would. And we read about how he bought the place for her burial and he buried her. And you'll go into more detail of that in your lessons as you discuss it. But I thought, for me, I thought it was interesting to think that Isaac at this time would have been 37 years old. Gives us kind of a picture. Let's go on to chapter 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. We don't know how much time passed here. I don't think it was very much. But we see Abraham is facing an ending in his life. But he knows it's time to look ahead. He's not staying there. He's looking ahead now to the next generation. The promise doesn't end with Abraham and Sarah, does it? No, no. It's a long way to go. And so, in verse 2, it says, Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. Now, we know that sounds weird, but you know that that was something they did for a very, very serious oath. This showed how important and how serious this oath was. Verse 3, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. As we read on, we see how important this really was to Abraham, don't we? And our study took us to scriptures in the New Testament that talk to us of the importance of that separation from the world, of not being unequally yoked. You know, we were reminded of we're in this world, but not of it. And great lessons there. It's great to see Abraham's commitment to that at this time. As we go on in chapter 24, we have this wonderful account of God's plan and his provision. We see that very specific prayer and God's answer before it's even finished. And that evidence of how the Lord goes before his servants and prepares the way. And it all ends with these wonderful words, and he loved her. It's a love story, isn't it? Not the kind we know of today, but really a more beautiful love story as we see God's hand in it. You know, chapter 24, it's a long chapter. I was told this morning it is the longest chapter in Genesis. You might like to know that so that in the future you don't face it. 67 verses. But didn't you enjoy reading that love story? And I know, well, I'm pretty sure some of you were surprised and found things you hadn't noticed before, because that's the way God's word is, isn't it? There's so much there, and most of it you're going to touch in your groups as you go over the lesson. So I'm going to pick out just a few things to bring out here together and look a little bit closer. One of them is that as we look at the servant of Abraham, that can be a picture. You know, we don't even know his name. Most commentators believe that he's Eliezer. He's the servant mentioned in Genesis 15 as the one who would have been his heir if he had no son. And if he was still alive, he would certainly be the oldest servant and the one he trusted that much. The first thing, though, about this picture in the servant is that we can see him as the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that his name, Eliezer, means God is help. And we know that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Chuck Smith said, in this particular story, there's a beautiful spiritual application. For already we have seen Abraham as a type of the Father. We have seen Isaac as a type of the Son. And Eliezer would become the type of the Holy Spirit. We have that picture then of the Father sending the Holy Spirit out to a far country to woo and draw and bring his bride back to Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing is, we are that bride, aren't we? And the Holy Spirit is doing that even now. You might look and see as you go through this study even more how that applies, that picture of the Holy Spirit drawing his bride. But I'm going to go on to the next thing now. Another thing that we can do as we look at that servant is see his example. When Malcolm taught on this chapter, he said, this servant is a model servant for us, that we could follow his example. So let's look closer into who this servant was, not his name, but who he was in his character and in his servanthood. The first thing that I can see is that he was faithful. He was a faithful servant. How do we know that? Well, he's the oldest servant in his household, and still he is faithful, so faithful that Abraham trusts him with this most important commission. It speaks to me of being a faithful servant to the Lord, faithful in all things, through the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, and throughout our lives, not growing weary, but staying faithful to the end. The servant knew his master. They had a relationship. It was that relationship that allowed them to talk the way they did. He asked his master questions about what he had told him to do, about this command that he had given him. But I love that if you look at the questions, you'll notice they weren't in any way designed for him to try to get out of doing what he'd been asked to do. These questions were in no way questioning whether it was the right thing to do. They weren't questioning his master. They were only preparing for what he might face, that he might do exactly what his master wanted. Those are the kind of questions we can bring to the Lord. And as we have that relationship with the Lord, we learn how to talk with him that way, don't we? We have that intimacy. We get to know him more through his word. We get to know him more through fellowship. And then we can have that same relationship with the Lord, can't we? The servant used what was provided. oh, I think we're very guilty of not doing this. Let's think about it. There is wisdom in knowing what provision is there and in using it. Genesis 24:10 said, "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor." He knew he needed things for this mission. And notice it said, all of his master's things were at his disposal. You know, that reminded me of a verse in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Did you hear that? All things that pertain to life and godliness are at our disposal. They've been provided for us. We need to go to him and use what he has given us for what he gives us to do. The servant might have made it to Haran without all 10 camels, but could he have brought Rebecca and her servant and all her things back? He thought to bring gifts and gold and silver. Those were important. You know, God knows what we need to do for all that he asks us to do. And I think we can find comfort in knowing that he gives us all that we have to do. The question is, do we use it? Do we avail ourselves of it? Think about Ephesians 6, God's armor. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." How many times do we face our day without putting on the armor that God has given us? Too many. And then we wonder when we fail, or we fall, or we struggle. We haven't taken advantage of the provision God has given us. It's wisdom. That's wisdom. The servant was also a man of prayer. We saw that, didn't we? When he reached the town and the well, he stopped and he prayed before he did anything else. And this is such an example to us. Before acting, he prayed. And his prayer was very specific. Something about specific prayers. They can be prayers that we try to use to manipulate God. That's not the ones that he wants to hear. This prayer had nothing in it like that, did it? This prayer was not presumptuous, and it was not a test. He wasn't testing God. He wasn't trying to get his own will out of this prayer. What was the purpose of his prayer? He was asking for direction, wisdom, and confirmation of the job that he'd already been told to do. Do you see the wisdom in that prayer? We can pray those specific prayers too, in his will. As we know him and we know what he's asked us to do, we can pray specifics for guidance and wisdom just the same. And even as his answer was coming before he finished the prayer, God does that for us. He does. He knows what we require before we even ask. And that's an encouragement, isn't it? Another thing I noticed about his prayer is he was very confident in his prayer. He knew God would do this. As the servant asked for guidance, he was asking that he would know who the bride would be. Makes me think, his confidence, of James 1:5 through 6. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." He had faith and confidence in that prayer. Where does that faith and confidence come from? Comes from the Lord. It's the only place it can come from. But as the Lord gives it, he uses each experience that we have, each hardship, each prayer, each answered prayer, to grow that faith in us. And our confidence and our faith grows in our prayers as we walk with the Lord, doesn't it? This was the oldest servant in Abraham's house. He had seen God work. He had watched Abraham hold on to the promise. He had seen Abraham waiting and struggling as he waited. And then the son of the promise delivered. He'd seen all of those things. And I'm sure he'd seen his own prayers answered. And his faith grew. Don't you see that in your life? If we allow ourselves to see God's answered prayer in others and to remember and hold on to God's answered prayer in our own lives, it gives us confidence in our prayers, doesn't it? This servant had confidence because he knew his God, and he knew his God was faithful and answered prayer. The servant was patient. We know patience is not always easy, is it? But he didn't rush in to assume that the first woman that came out was the one. Even the first one with the pitcher, or even the first one that gave him, he waited. He didn't rush ahead. It says in Genesis 24:21, and the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He waited. Patience isn't easy, but it's so important if we want to know that we're doing God's will. It's a good example for us. We also saw that his priorities were in order. Genesis 24:33, I love this one. Food was set before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. He put his personal needs, his flesh, aside, because he needed to complete God's command first. He was willing to deny himself in order to obey God. When God gives us something to do, we need to be ready to do that. We live in a comfortable world. We're a pretty spoiled people. We need to be ready to deny ourselves if need be in order to accomplish God's will. And this servant gives us that example. We see it again when Eliezer's ready to leave with Rebecca, and his priority is possibly questioned. Laban and her mother come out, don't they? Genesis 24:56, but her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And the servant said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. He wasn't hindered by their pleadings or their ideas or their emotions. He was steadfast in his plan and in his task that God had given him. When I think of this servant, I see Proverbs 3:5-6 in action. As I read it, think about him and how you see him in it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do you see a servant there? I think probably the more important question is, do we see ourselves there? That's what our walk should be. When we're walking in that way, trusting God, taking each step as he shows it to us, then we are walking in his will, and he will direct us, won't he? There's a quote that I heard, don't know who said it, but I think it's said very well. When a man is doing God's will as best he knows it and is willing to do his further will even before he knows it, then he will know God's will as soon as he needs to know it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for these pictures that you give us in the Word, for the examples that you show us. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you because you are trustworthy, that we can be faithful because you are faithful, Lord, that we can take those steps forward as you direct because we know that you will continue to direct, Lord. And as we seek your will, Lord, help us to remember this servant, to be able to take those steps in faith, looking ahead to you, questioning only according to your will, speaking as you would lead us to speak. And Lord, as we saw him so many times when you answered his prayer, immediately praising you and give you all the glory that you are due, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.